Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be talking about our virtualization environment. This is where we used to have our ESXi server. We actually purchased the Essentials Pack from VMware, which gives you ESXi, and then that vCenter server setup. And then we had that for like a year, and I think it was like $500 or something like that. So not a bad deal for an organization that needs that kind of stuff, but we're just testing things. So then I started looking for something else because our license ran out. We really haven't been taking care of that thing anyway. So it needed to be fixed, needed to be replaced. We had to get the network fixed first. But I was looking at different options. And so the first option I was looking at to replace our ESXi server was something called Proxmox. And that runs Debian. And it has a lot of open source solutions in there. Looked good. And then I thought, well, maybe we need to go back to ESXi, because there's a free version of ESXi. So
on the free version of ESXi, does it have the same thing that we have?
No, I think, so here's how the whole thing works. Before we talk about which one we're going to go with, we need to look at the different options, because I'm going to test both of them. So we have to have some idea of what it is we're looking for. You know, what kind of features do we want?
So first, why don't you explain what it is we were doing with the ESXi?
Yeah, that was just for testing purposes. So we would set up our virtual machines. We would use Windows virtual machines, Ubuntu virtual machines, and we were just playing around with different things to do various testing for things like, you know, Windows servers, Windows 10 maybe. And we did a lot of different things with that.
We did some storage stuff as well, right? Didn't we?
We played around with a lot of different things. Yeah. So it was just a way for us to do our testing, right? And so in this case, we have to have a set of requirements for this project. What things do we have to have in our virtual machine server, whether that's Proxmox or ESXi, and how is that going to help us with our testing?
So before you do that, did you sit down and figure out, okay, this is what we're going to want to do with our VMware, and then made a list of things that whatever it is we're getting needed to have, or how did you come up with your answer, I guess?
Well, let me go through this here so you can kind of see what I'm doing here. So in order to do this, I have to figure out what we need. So can they provide the basic VM requirements that we need?
Which are?
We don't have anything fancy. We don't need any, because a lot of these things have fancy options with high availability and clustering and all that. And you can have, you know, multiple physical systems and all. We don't need any of that. We just want something very, very basic. We have our one box. We install the software on it. We create VMs. That's it. It's all I need.
So basically what we're going to do is continue to do some, you know, create some VMs for our lab environment. Or like if we, when we open our business to test something before we implement it into something, correct?
Correct. So, you know, can it provide us with a basic VM environment? That's one thing that we need to have.
Okay.
Can we manage it? That's the second thing we have to think about. If we can't manage it, then we can't use it. And then are there any other things we have to take into consideration when we look at these different options? So let's look at Proxmox, and we'll talk about some of the features it has. And one thing that we want to mention here is that Proxmox can be free, but there are some limitations there. And then with the ESXi free version, there are some limitations there as well. And so the question you have to ask yourself is, are those limitations going to be too limiting? Like, we can't use it. So Proxmox is something that's new to me. And like I said before, it's based on Debian Linux. It's open source, kind of, sort of. If you want the updates, you have to pay for it. And there's like a community edition that you can get. I think it's like $80 a year, and you can get the updates. But if you install it, supposedly it's all free. All the options you need to have in there are all free. You just don't get updates.
So this is part of the maintenance, right? You know, to do the updates, we would have to do them ourselves?
You can't get them.
Oh, you can't get them at all?
You can't get them at all.
Oh.
So that's something we have to take into consideration. But we have to go through our list here. So the first question is, can it provide a basic VM environment? Yes, it can. It has lots of options, most of which we don't even care about because we're not going to use them. We just need something basic. So yes, it can do that. And as I said before, updates cost money, so that's something we have to take into consideration. Can we manage it? In this case, I'm going to say yes, because we're only going to do the basic things in here. And when you think about Debian, we're Ubuntu people, right? Our servers are Ubuntu. Your workstation's Ubuntu. You're used to using the Ubuntu commands. All of those things are pretty much the same ones you're going to use on Debian. So there's not really much of a difference there. There may be some variation with a few commands here and there, but for the most part, it's all the same. And so we just have to think about Proxmox and the configuration files that are there. So when I went online and looked this up and watched the videos online, you manage your virtual machine through the web interface. It's just like how we did with ESXi. You go to the web interface, you know, you can create your VMs, you add your resources like your hard drive, your processor, your RAM, and then you have a VM, and then you specify where you're going to use or where your installation media is. You put that in there, and you can install Linux, Windows, whatever you want. So for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. It's just kind of very similar to the stuff we've seen with VMware and ESXi, the one we were using before. So for the most part, it's all pretty much the same. Now we have to think about the other things that we want to take into consideration. Is there any reason why we shouldn't be using this? Or are there other things that we have to think about?
Well, one of the things that I think about is that any time that you talk about virtualization out there on any business, they're using VMware. So if we are trying to get some experience on something that is going to work for us, you know, for a business or something, we can say, you know, yes, we have virtualization experience, but with something that no one knows about. And, you know, VMware is kind of like Windows, you know? I mean, you can sit in there, you can say to people, you know, I'm really good at Linux, but pretty much every business runs on Windows. You know, they make it really easy for people to. So you tell me, do you think that this is a better option for what we're trying to achieve?
And that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
So we have to take that into consideration. It's something that we want to evaluate. So what we're going to do is we're going to play around with Proxmox. We're going to see what it does. If anybody else wants to use that, they can get the free one. You want to pay for the updates. Like I said, you can get the community edition. It's like $80. One thing about this that's pretty cool is that I think on the licensing side, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You pay the $80, and this is something that you don't know about. So this would be for people who are going to buy this for an enterprise environment. VMware, I think, charges you for a certain amount of processors. There's some kind of goofy licensing thing that goes on with some of these virtualization solutions. And so you kind of have to be aware of that as you buy these different things. In our case, it doesn't really matter. We're looking for something that's free or very cheap. And so that's why I was looking at Proxmox, because $80 a year versus the $500 for the paid version of VMware Essentials, well, it's obviously cheaper.
Right.
But then we have free ESXi. So now we get into the situation of, well, if I'm going to get ESXi for free and I have what you say, I get experience using what everybody else is using, because nobody's using, I mean, obviously somebody somewhere is using Proxmox, but I've never seen anybody use it. And I've been in IT for a while. And what does everybody have? Like you said, they all have VMware. So if we're going to look at this and say, hey, I'm going to put all this time and effort into Proxmox, and then I can't use all that time and effort anywhere else, then what's the point? So like I said, I will test it. We'll see how it works. But now we have to talk about ESXi. And we're talking about the free version. Can it provide a basic VM environment? Yes. So for a certain number of days, you get all the features. And then the features go away and you get the basic, the free version. And the free version, I think, in our case, is going to be just fine. We won't know for sure until we try it, but even if I have to do like a few workarounds here and there, that's fine if I don't have to pay for anything and it gives me the ability to do a VM on a separate machine, you know, because what I'm looking for is not just the VM piece, but I want to take my laptop with me. Well, if I have a system that I need to leave up and running all the time for testing purposes, I want to have it on a separate box that sits in our lab. I can leave it on. I can run my VMs the way I want. Maybe we have a VM with Nessus on it. And maybe that's how we do our scans for our local network or our scans for the cloud servers. So I have to have that up and running doing the scans while we go out and do whatever it is we want to do. So those are the kinds of things I'm looking at. And I think for the most part, the free version of ESXi is going to be perfectly fine for that. We still have to test it though. And of course, we can manage this because we've had this before. I've used it in a business environment. We used to have this. We had the Essentials version. So overall, I think, like you said, ESXi is probably going to be the one that we go with, but we have to test it to make sure.
I think the hardest part of a ESXi for us was to set it up. Well, for you, because you're the one that knew what you were doing. But once that you got it all set up and running and working, it was easier to use, you know?
Yeah, so...
But then I don't know ProMox. What am I talking about?
Yeah, so...
Ignore me.
So the ProxMox, when I watched them do certain things, it seemed pretty cool. I was kind of surprised at how easy it was to create the virtual machines and all of that. But then they said that if you want to get some of the fancier things in there, you have to go to the command line. And you know what the command line is like.
Yeah, unless you know the commands. And, you know, if it's like Cisco versus Juniper kind of thing, like you can't use the same commands, you know, on that. That's going to be kind of crazy.
Well, I think some of the commands are going to be familiar to you.
Oh,
you
know, because like, it's based on Debian. Okay, never mind.
Well, but here's where it gets confusing. And you've seen this. When we did your DHCP server, what happened? We got all confused because the configuration file is like hundreds of lines, and then we realized we only need like 20 because we got rid of most of it. But it took us forever to figure out how to do that. So if we're in a situation where we need a certain feature that's not part of the web interface, we have to go to the command line, it could take us weeks to figure out how to get the configuration file exactly the way we want to do the kinds of things we want.
Yeah, because we lucked out with the one that we had. We just kind of grabbed that configuration that was already dejunct, and we deleted the other one and then put that one on top, you know, or we put that one in place of it. So that was good because we knew that one was working on our other device. But had we not known that, it would have taken a few hundred years to actually figure out what to take, how many lines, because, I mean, the file was huge.
Yeah, and that was for your DHCP server, and
right.
We couldn't figure out what to do with that. So those are things that we have to take into consideration. Now, VMware can be just as difficult because sometimes you're in those things where you have to click this, click that, you don't know where to go, and it's hard to find out what things you're supposed to click on. So that can be a little confusing, but it's a little easier to point and click your way around the interface to configure things than it is to sometimes go to a command line where there's a file you have to edit and it's huge and you don't know what to change.
And then there's no GUI feedback on, okay, maybe if I select this, this will do what I want it to do. So no, I get it.
So yeah, now we have to talk about our network because last episode, I don't think we were very clear because I had to edit the show and I'm listening to it and I'm like, I sound goofy. I'm not really sure of what I want.
Okay, so explain to me then now that, you know, clarify what you felt was missing.
Well, in order for us to get our ESXi or our Proxmox installed, it has to work on the network. I have to have a place to plug it in. And right now, we don't really have that because I'm making changes to the network. I took out a bunch of stuff. Certain VLAN subnet combinations are gone. So now what I have to do is figure out or define exactly what we're going to have. We may make changes afterwards, but we have to have an initial baseline which we can at least test, you know, and have a place to put the VMware server or Proxmox. So our network design is going to go like this. Internet, Meraki, Cisco Switch 1, and then we're going to add Cisco Switch 2 because we don't have enough ports, so we have to add that second switch. And then on the Meraki, it's going to be very basic, and it's only going to be there in case we have to have it. There's going to be some things on there, like the printer is going to be there. So the subnet, we're going to have a subnet for workstations and printers. We're going to have a subnet for Wi-Fi. Those two things are already there. And then we're going to have a subnet for the power strip because we have a power strip that's connected to the network. We can turn off certain plugs. We used to use that a lot. We're going to make sure that's on the Meraki because if I want to shut down something on the lab side, it needs to be accessible from the network, right? So I could be connecting by a VPN. I could be on the Wi-Fi network. I could be on the plug or the wired network for workstation printers, log into the power strip, shut things down. That's kind of how we want to use that. And then we're going to have a management VLAN or subnet, and that's where communication from the Meraki and the Cisco Switch 1 is going to happen because they have to talk to each other. And so that's what's going to be on the Meraki. Again, it's going to be very basic, and then DHCP and DNS are all going to be self-contained. We're not going to have anything talking back to the test network. If something goes wrong with the test network,
production will be fine.
Right, because we can always go back to the Wi-Fi or plug into the wired network on the Meraki and we'll be perfectly fine. On the Cisco Switch 1, we're going to have a server subnet, a workstation subnet that's separate from the one that's on the Meraki. We're going to have a virtual machine subnet, and that's where, you know, ESXi or Proxmox is going to go.
So why have a different workstation subnet?
I want them totally separate from the Meraki so that if something happens with our test network, it's not going to affect what's on the Meraki.
Oh, but you have it for workstations that we're using for testing. Okay, I wasn't getting that.
So like your workstation, correct, my workstation, my laptop, your laptop, that's all going to get plugged into that subnet. And then if we need others, we can add them. But for now, we're going to just have that one workstation subnet for us on the testing side.
So what are we going to have on the production side as workstations?
Don't worry about that for now.
Okay.
Focus on what we're doing here. We're on Cisco Switch 1. So again, we have server subnet, workstation subnet, virtual machine subnet. We're going to have that management subnet that goes in between Cisco Switch 1 and the Meraki. And then we're going to have routing on Switch 1. Now, the Meraki already does routing, but we got to make sure the routing tables match so they can communicate back and forth with the different subnets we have on the testing side. And then on Cisco Switch 2, this is just going to be an access layer switch, no routing turned on. And so for that, that's just where our workstation VLAN is going to be. And then because we don't have any communications happening from, or I should say, DHCP is not being done by the Meraki anymore, because right now it does DHCP for us. But on the testing network, no more DHCP. I don't want anything coming off the Meraki. It all has to come from the test network.
So they're all going to be static IP addresses?
No, we're going to have DHCP because I don't want to have to manage IP addresses. That's kind of crazy.
Okay.
So in order to do this, we're going to have to set up a DHCP server.
Okay.
So we're either going to use the...
Like the Raspberry Pis.
Exactly. Just like your Raspberry Pi DHCP server. We're going to take a configuration from that, and we're going to plaster that on our Gigabyte server, and we're going to just use that.
Okay.
So that's how that's going to work. And then again, if something goes wrong, I don't have to think. I take my workstation from the Cisco Switch 1 or Cisco Switch 2, plug it into the Meraki. It gives me a DHCP assigned address. DNS comes from outside. I'm perfectly fine. And the printer is right there, so I can still print.
Sweet.
So that all has to be done before I can get ESXi or Proxmox installed.
I know you say simple, and I get the simplicity of your idea, but it is complicated.
It's complicated enough that you have to have a network diagram.
I mean, you know, to get it off the ground, we really need to be super accurate, document everything, and make sure that, you know, because troubleshooting the project is going to be a task. If, you know, but then we're going to do one like we did the last time when we changed all the IP addresses and the subnets, you know, and we did that switch on the network. We took it a piece at a time, and that kind of turned out really good.
It did. And so in order for us to be able to maintain all of this, we have to have a good network diagram. So one of the things I'm going to do is put that together. And then, of course, it's going to have to be modified as we begin to use it. But that's going to go into the show notes. I'm going to add that to the show notes so people can see kind of what's going on.
Right.
It's not going to have all of our IP addresses in there.
Well, no.
It will have kind of like generic subnet names in there for, you know, subnet one, subnet two, workstation, printer, you know, something like that. So people can have an idea of what this thing looks like.
So, well, let me ask you this. You are going to do the network diagram first, right? And then you're going to do the inventory of all the devices that are going to go in there and then all the inventory of the software that we're going to have in them before we put this all into play?
Well, we're going to get it all connected and everything. And little by little, we're going to go through everything and we're going to gather as much information as possible from each one, from our Gigabyte server.
So you don't want to do that as we're setting it up?
As we go through the whole process of making things work, we're going to slow because that's a long process. We won't be done for months.
I know.
We can't wait. I got stuff I need to get done.
But let me remind you.
This is a live network where we have to get certain projects taken care of. We don't have time to wait. So as we go through all of this, we're going to document things as we go.
Okay, that's what I mean.
The network diagram is going to be done first. We're going to know where things are plugged in. But like our Gigabyte server, that's a lot of work that has to go into that Gigabyte server in order for us to get it to where it needs to be. The only other option is to say, well, no testing for a month because we have to do this. So there are projects that just have to get done.
No, and I understand anymore. That, but I didn't think it'd be a big deal of network diagram, device, software, and device that could be documented. I mean, I understand the process of putting it together is going to take longer and that documentation is going to take longer. But I just thought it'd be a lot easier to just do network diagram, device, and software.
We're going to get there. You know, but, we're going to have all of the devices are going to be, you know, the ones, the major ones, like our servers and all that, are going to be on the network diagram.
Okay.
So most of that's going to be already in there. But to go through individual, I mean, look at the workstation stuff that you're doing. You're not done yet. Look how long that's taking. So some stuff is, it's an ongoing process. And that's why I say for a lot of the stuff that we do, it's an ongoing process. You go back around and you review it. And for a lot of that stuff, you can't say, well, hold on, we can't do anything until I finish.
No, that's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying you can't do anything until I finish. I was just saying that it would be a lot easier to just kind of put it in there and then add the process or add the configuration as we get into it. But anyway, continue. What else do you have?
No, that's it. Because we have to make sure all of that network piece is taken care of before we can really do much of anything else. We can't do any testing until that's done. And we can't get, like I said, we can't get the ESXi or the Proxmox installed until that's done. Because I don't know what IP address to assign the system. It's not documented yet. We haven't picked out that subnet yet.
Okay.
So those are the things that I'm going to be working on. And like you said, perfect example of a situation where maybe you want to use Linux for something, you want to use open source. Because one of the things I ran into when I was looking at, you know, Proxmox versus ESXi, oh, Proxmox is open source. It's great. Well, if it doesn't give you what you want, open source doesn't matter. If the company that you want to go to work for doesn't have Proxmox, they have VMware, well, what are you going to spend your time learning?
Well, exactly. Or do you really want to? I mean, you may know how to do virtualization and software is different and you can say, oh, well, you know, it's just a matter of learning where to go on this and that, but you still have to learn that on the job. And I think that if that is one of the requirements for you to apply for a job, you can't just go, well, yeah, you know, I don't know VMware, but I know Proxmox. And they're going to go, you know? So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's well known. I've never heard of it, but it doesn't mean anything because I'm not out in the IT world.
I never heard of it until this year.
Okay.
You know, I was looking for a solution that came up. I was like, oh, we should try this.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that we can get ESXi for free. And I was like, well.
And you know, it's kind of a shame because I'm sure, you know, we've tried free products before that we thought, wow, that was pretty cool that they do certain things. And it's a shame that it's not as well known. But then, you know, you have Windows and VMware and things like that that are so well established that for someone else is really difficult to kind of say, hey, here I am, substitute me, learn me, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Wow.
Anything else you want to add?
No, you?
No, I think this is going to be good. If you have any comments or questions about this, or maybe you want to say something about Proxmox versus VMware ZSXi, you can send us an email at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to osnap.section9.us. I will have a network diagram there that people can take a look at. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.